Morning.
Good morning.
Our gospel reading comes from Mark chapter 14, verses 32 through 36. In this passage, Jesus prays in the garden, just after his Last Supper and just before his arrest and crucifixion. A quiet moment to prepare himself spiritually before heading off to do a most difficult thing. Let us listen together for God's words. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." May God bless this reading and hearing.
So I'm a lot of things. I am a son, I'm a brother, I'm a husband, I'm a cousin, I'm an uncle, I'm a nephew, I'm a colleague, I'm a coworker, I'm a friend, I'm a pastor. I'm a lot of different things, but one of the things that I am, the most amazing and most challenging, the most wonderful, the most tiring, the most difficult thing that I am is a parent. And ever since, I don't know, 9:30 or so on August 16th, 2002, I have been a parent to Owen. He gave me permission to use his name this morning. Now, in those early days, some of you may identify with this, I had trouble just getting the basics down, right? You know, holding that little head, swaddling, changing diapers, feeding, rocking, and putting to sleep. All those things were really difficult, but you know, over time, Deirdre, I did okay. I got it. I got the basics. I got into a rhythm. I got into a groove. As I was getting the basics down, though, I had this epiphany. And the epiphany was that even though Owen had basic needs, that he was far from basic, right? That he had a mouth and a body and lots of basic needs, but he also had spiritual needs. You see, it's hard to explain really, but as I rocked him and played with him and fed him and watched him coo and sleep, I felt a deep love for him, but I also felt this sure and certain truth that God was in him, that he was a beloved child of God with God's power and presence filling him completely. I didn't know it then, but I know it now that that's when my job as a parent got infinitely more difficult. Right? Because as hard as it is to tend to his basic needs, it's also really, really hard to tend to his spiritual needs as well. I came to see that it was my responsibility to provide for him physically and emotionally, to keep him safe and warm, but also it was my sacred and wonderful responsibility to make sure that he knew the name of God and stories about God. It wasn't my responsibility to coerce him or to shove my spirituality down his throat, but my responsibility to make sure he knew God's name and had the opportunity to develop his own relationship with God in the way that he needed to do. Another thing that it meant was that it was my responsibility as the parent of a spiritual being to raise him, in the words of Cindy Wang Brandt from her book Parenting Forward that we'll be talking about the next few weeks, it was my responsibility to raise him as a JMK kid, as a kid who lived with justice, mercy, and kindness. Basic needs are really, really hard. And raising a kid to live with justice, mercy, and kindness is really, 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 really hard. And I'm convinced, I know without a shadow of a doubt, that this world needs justice, mercy, and kindness in it, doesn't it? So I have a sense of urgency about this topic of raising JMK kids. I also am grateful to Cindy Wang Brandt and her book Parenting Forward that gives us the time, the space, and some parenting tools over the next few weeks that we might help our kids to become those of justice, mercy, and kindness. So as a quick note, not everyone in this room is the parent of a school-aged child, and I get that, I understand that, and you may be wondering if this sermon series is relevant for you or worth your time. Fear not. I know that if you're a parent and your kids are grown or out of the house, or maybe even a grandparent or a great-grandparent, I have heard over and over again that you never stop parenting, right? So, more work needs to be done. But also, if you're not a parent, it's also true that it takes a whole village, right? And if we're going to raise kids with justice, mercy, and kindness, all of us need to pitch in together. So yes, this sermon is for you and for all of us. Let's pray. God's parenting's hard, and the world needs justice, mercy, and kindness. We need one another, and we need you. So give it to us this week and in the coming weeks. Give it to us with love and with peace. Open our eyes and open our ears and help us with the help we need. Amen. So it seems to me that if we're going to talk about the goal or responsibility of parenting to raise JMK kids, it seems like a good place to start is for us to talk about what justice, mercy, and kindness are, right? What are some definitions of those? What is the goal that we are working towards? So let me just go through this quickly. First of all, justice. We'll start there. Simple one, right? No, it is a complicated and multifaceted word that gets used all the time, and it seems like it can mean anything to anyone. But I think we can get a working definition here relatively briefly, and to do that, I'm going to call upon an image that some of you may have seen or heard before, and it's this. You've got a baseball game going on, right? And there's an outfield wall, and there are four people behind the wall trying to watch the game. You've got a tall person, a medium-heighted person, a shorter person, and a person in a wheelchair. The problem is that only the tall person is tall enough to see over that fence, and so most of the people cannot participate in that experience. So a fair approach to the problem, right, to make sure everyone got the same thing, would be to give one box to everybody, right, so they could stand on. The problem with that is that the tall person doesn't need a box. It's great for the medium-sized person because they only need one box to stand on, but the short person needs two boxes, and the person in the wheelchair, the box isn't going to work at all. So not a fair response, but a just response is to ensure that everyone in that experience has what they need. So the tall person doesn't need a box, so they don't get one. The medium-heighted person, they get the one box. The shorter person gets two boxes, so now they can see over the wall, and maybe the person in the wheelchair needs a ramp and a platform to stand on or to sit on. So in that way, by having a just response to this problem, you ensure that everyone has what they need, everyone can participate, and the whole community can participate in that experience as one whole body. So living with justice is being one who lives in such a way that makes it more possible, likely ensures that everybody has what they need. Mercy. Mercy is often defined as withholding judgment or punishment even when somebody deserves it. Have mercy on me. Don't punish me because I stole those cookies, right? Withholding the judgment or punishment. But see, time and time again, over and over, God is shown in the biblical record as one who shows mercy to God's people when they screw up, they go the wrong way, they do the wrong thing, they hurt one another, they hurt themselves, they hurt the environment. God meets them, not with judgment and punishment ultimately, but meets them with mercy, with forgiveness in a way that builds up the relationship between God and God's people. So living with mercy is one who shows forgiveness time and again in order to enhance relationship. Lastly, kindness. The Hebrew word here is hesed, and I've talked about this a few times over the years here. It's one of my favorite concepts in the Bible. It's often translated as kindness or loving kindness. It's a summary for the way that God interacts with all of us, right? And the idea is this, that God showers kindness down upon us, love and mercy and justice and forgiveness and grace and salvation and saving and all of those wonderful things, that God shows kindness to us and calls us then to extend the same kindness God showed us first to other people. God models for us a way of kindness, right? So, putting this all together then, what does it mean to live as a JMK kid or to be raised as a JMK kid? It means to be one who lives in such a way that all have what they need, who forgives in order to build relationships, and who understands God's kindness shown towards them and tries to extend that outward into the world. JMK kids. Which sounds great and wonderful and like a noble goal and really, really worthwhile, but it also sounds really hard, doesn't it? It sounds overwhelming to think as a parent that we are responsible for providing for our kids' basic needs and also for being those who raise them to be kids, adults who live with justice, mercy, and kindness. How do we do that? What does raising our children like that look like? Where do we even begin? Here's where I think we begin. And it's where Cindy Wang Brandt begins in her book. She begins not by focusing on kids and what we need to do and what programs they need to be involved in and how we need to treat them, etc. But she begins by calling us to be those who raise ourselves, right? Who do our own work, who do our own self-help, who tend to our own spiritual lives, our basic needs, who work on ourselves, who raise ourselves so that we are equipped and enabled and have the energy we need to go out there and to sow justice, mercy, and kindness into our kids and into the world. No way, you might be thinking. I'm the adult here. I don't need to be raised. I've got it all figured out, right? My body, my mind, my spirit are operating at 100%, and I always live with justice, mercy, and kindness. Except we know that's not true, right? I don't think that's a secret here that most of us in this room are adults, but I got to say that I don't know one of us who's got it all figured out. I don't know any of us who are operating with 100% body, mind, and spirit. And every once in a while, I think I and all of us, we might do things that aren't just, aren't merciful, and aren't kind. Now, I say this truth because it's true. Not to shame, not to make us feel badly about ourselves, but because it's true. And if we're ever going to be those who raise JMK kids, we've got to start by acknowledging our own brokenness, our own suffering, our own woundedness, and our own need to do our own work to make ourselves healthier. Cindy Wang Brandt says it like this. Parenting may be less about raising our children and more about raising ourselves. The best parenting is done not in the direction of our children, but through the hard work of deep healing within ourselves so that our children are met with a healthy and whole parent imparting patterns of loving kindness. So one way to meet this call to raise ourselves is with anxiety and resistance, right? Heck no. I'm busy, you're busy, right? Houses, aging parents, the basement flooded last week, you need snow tires on, the snow's starting to come, you know. And when it comes to our parenting, justice, mercy, and kindness, I'm trying to get through the hour to get through the minute. That's what I'm about. I don't have time to take a nap. I don't have time to take a bath. I don't have time to read that article I'm kind of interested in. You want to talk to me about doing that deep, hard inner work of raising myself so that I can raise JMK kids? Are you kidding me? That's a non-starter. No way. So I get that. I understand it. And I almost didn't do this series because that's exactly how I felt when I started reading all of this. But what if we met this call to raise ourselves not with anxiety and resistance. Maybe what if we met it with a deep sense of relief? Heard it not as obligation or shame, but as invitation and opportunity. You mean to tell me that if I want to raise JMK kids and sow justice, mercy, and kindness into the world through them, then that means I have permission, maybe, to let go of some things in my life that are no longer feeding me? Do you mean that I have permission, maybe, to reorient and reprioritize a little bit? Do you mean I have permission to work on myself, to make that therapy appointment, to make that doctor's appointment, to take a walk, to take a nap, to take a bath, to read that article, to attend that study, to worship, to pray, to breathe? Or maybe, do I have permission just for a couple of seconds just to be? Do you mean that in order to raise JMK kids, that means that I have permission to find that place where what I need and what God needs and what the world needs all come together in one place? Jesus has some things to tell us about this. So in our gospel passage this morning, he is in a difficult spot. He's at the end of his life. He's at the end of his public ministry. He has just shared a Last Supper with his disciples where he offers them some great parenting advice about how to proceed after he's gone. So what's coming up next, though, we know in the story, is his arrest and torture and crucifixion and ultimately death, where in that process, he parents all of us, showing us what real justice, mercy, and kindness looks like demonstrated in real time, in real life, in the real world. But before he goes on to do that amazing parenting work on the cross, he starts off by doing something else. And you know what he does? He takes some quiet time to go in the garden to pray. He could have done a lot of other things. He could have helped with the Passover dishes, maybe. He could have told some more advice to his followers. He could have gotten his legal affairs in order because he knew he was dying. He could have done one of 1,000 different things, but he didn't do that. But what he did is he took some quiet times in the garden away from his childlike disciples to just be with God for a bit, to talk, to share, to complain, to confess, to lament, to empty his cup so that it might be filled again. You see, what Jesus did before being raised on the cross was to prepare himself by raising himself in his relationship with God through prayer and doing that hard internal work. And because he did that, he then had the energy, the focus, the attention, the spiritual energy he needed to go on to do the most difficult thing in the world, which is to raise all of us to be JMK kids. There's much more to say, but we'll stick a pin in it there for now. We will continue with this question next week and the week after that. And next week, our topic will continue to be, how do we raise JMK kids? And we'll shift our topic away from raising ourselves to think about our kids' physical selves, to think about their bodies. Cindy Wang Brandt says this. She says, when our children learn to be in right relationship with their bodies, they'll move and they'll move others. So join us next week and bring a friend. Amen.